Nathaniel, I'm going to ask you to come and share a testimony as we continue on.
I was getting choked up during worship because I was, after Pastor John asked me to share this, my mind was on it. I came up with a background on it because some of you don't know who these people are, and I just wanted to share that as well. But I wrote it down so you guys wouldn't have to deal with me going all over the place like I tend to. Holy Life Tabernacle is in Brookings, South Dakota, is a church Pastor David Jeannie Kaufman pioneered in the 1980s. They are the writers of White Knuckle Faith, which some of you are familiar with. I found HLT 2 years after salvation in 2005. After a couple years of attendance, I adopted the Kaufmans as my spiritual parents. Because of Pastor Dave's practical and logical approach to Scripture, as a son to a dad, I often reach out to him for sound biblical advice. I've been working on being more intentional about calling folk on their birthday to simply say happy birthday. Pastor Dave reminded me of their upcoming India trip, so after I told him happy birthday, I prayed over their mission trip. I know others prayed for them, but I found myself authoritatively praying against the devil's plan. Pastor Dave gave the Sunday message last Sunday and included this testimony with more detail. I highly encourage you to find that message and listen to the first 20 minutes. With that said, this testimony only scratches the surface, but is a testimony of their recent trip to India. This text came to me at 2 in the morning last Monday. Hello, Nathaniel and Allison. We are in Amsterdam on our way home. Our time of ministry in India has gone very well. Thank you for your valuable prayers. We have experienced a dramatic testimony. On Monday, January 13th, our lives were miraculously saved. We went to Tata, Andhra Pradesh area for a Panthers conference. Andhra Pradesh is, I think, a state or a part of India, but Tata is an actual town. We checked in a hotel before the conference. It was 10 a.m. DeCros, our Indian leader, and his wife, and Jeannie and I were in different rooms on the same floor. DeCros heard a loud boom. The power went out. There had been an electrical explosion, and a fire started. We were on the top floor. We smelled smoke. When I opened the door, the smoke was blinding and toxic. You could not breathe. I shut the door, and we realized we were trapped. There was no way out. We got a window open to breathe. DeCros had cut his hand, smashing a window near him to get air. He got stitches. People from the ground could only watch. A small fire truck came, but no ladders. We were too high. Then about a half hour later, we heard people yelling and beating on doors. They were looking for us. These brave men had no breathing equipment. It was pitch black. They risked their lives for us. I pounded on my door, and I shouted, "We are here, help." It was very traumatic. I opened the door. I could see nothing. Two arms came out of the smoke and grabbed me, and two more men got Jeannie. We could see nothing as they shouted and pulled us through the hallway. We were breathing through wet towels. Then I saw a glimmer of light as they got the fire escape exit door open. Those brave men saved us. DeCros and Sheba were rescued about 10 minutes later. We are alive. Jesus saved us.
Thank you.
So that just happened, and these are friends of ours. Dave, I've known for a long time. Pretty awesome, isn't it? It does pay to pray. It does pay to stay the name of Jesus, and it does pay to stay faithful. I'm going to ask, I was going to clue you in, Jenna, but I didn't. So, Jenna, would you come? I really am a nice guy, just every once in a while. But
we were just talking after church about the need to be reminded. Remember that? And is that enough? You got something? Remember just the dollar bills and all that? Start there.
Oh.
You got to take it.
Yeah.
Think about it. You'll go on.
I know. God's just really been... I've been doing a lot of Andrew stuff, and I think Pete had recommended this one series on "You've Already Got It," and so I've just been like listening to that over and over, and he goes on and on in there about like, you know, we've heard it a million times, and we know that like at the cross everything was done for us. But there's still a part of us, I don't know, of me, that like, it's like you grab hold of it, and maybe for a time you really walked in that and believed it and whatever, and then you just, life happens and you kind of forget that, and then it comes back to you, and so he was talking about yeah, everything's done for us at the cross. Like we have complete salvation, yes, but we also have complete provision of everything we want. Everything, it's just completely done. And so, his thing was it's not just the fact that it's okay. So our spirit man, our spirit. In our spirit man, we are complete. Everything is perfect, done, like done, finished. And then the other, our soul, which is our body, mind, and emotions, that is what has to join with the spirit and go, yeah, I believe it. I believe it's done. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm prosperous. I believe you grab it, and when your mind and your body and your soul all join with that, with your spirit man, which is already perfect, then it's like, now you've tipped the scales. Like, when your mind, will, and emotions join with the spirit man, which is perfect, now you've got two against one, which is your body, which your body's sitting here going, I'm not healed. I don't have the things I wanted. It's not done for me yet, right? But your body's the last one to clue in to everything that is already done for you. Like, your spirit man, perfect. When your soul, when your mind, your will, and your emotions all go, yes, I agree with that. Now you're two against one, and then the body just finally has to go, okay, I will join in with the rest. I will join in with the rest. So, like, that's why it is such a thing of getting your mind to go, yes, I agree that this is what God has for me, that it's already done, that I'm already healed, that the desires he gave me, they are done, complete, finished. It's just mine to take. And then I thought back to all the different times when John sits there and says over and over, here's the money, take the money. Anybody want the money? Take the money. And we've heard him say that story 50 million times. And it was like, oh yeah, just take the money, right? I mean, that it's us just taking what has already been accomplished and joining in with it and going, yep, spirit man, perfect. Okay, soul, mind, emotions, join in, perfect. Eventually, the body just has to get in line. There's just no other option for it. But the problem is when your spirit man's perfect and your body's not there yet, and your mind, will, and emotions are going, we don't see it, we don't feel it. They're in agreement with the body, which isn't there yet, instead of in agreement with the soul or with the spirit, which is done, right? So our goal is to join with the spirit, which is done. It's finished. It's over. It's complete. It's done. You know, we join with that. And then the body, well, it will line up. It will line up.
Now, if you're wondering how you're supposed to live in life, living by the Spirit, that's it. You You get called up and you say, well, I didn't prepare. Listen, you don't get to prepare for every conversation you're going to have. You got to just, when you got the opportunity to share, you just say, okay, all right, help me, Lord. And start getting that mind renewed and start. And then the Spirit of God literally does come back, come upon you and starts bringing things to your memory helping you. So what she just did, that's what all of us can do when we're in conversations with people. And just share the truth. But part of the thing is, I'm going to read this scripture. It says here in 2 Peter 1:13, it says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. And most of us know enough right now to finish out our race. As you said, you just forget things. I can tell you all kinds of pastors that can preach a really great sermon, but they forget to live it out themselves. It's still the doer that gets it. And so part of what we get to do until we leave this world is consider it right to remind one another. That I don't mind reminding you. I don't mind preaching the same things over. And you shouldn't mind talking to each other. In fact, take the liberty sometimes to step over and be a little courageous. It's not like really super bold lying stuff. It's just saying, hey, when somebody's sharing with you, I got this sniffle and all that. Well, remember, it was all taken care of at the cross. Let's receive it together. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be, shouting, crying, yelling. It's Palmer, I tell you all the time when we're playing and we're talking after in between volleyball games, he'll be reminding me that, hey, it's ours. We already won, all those things. It really makes a difference. And here's the deal. If you forget, you forfeit. And so don't ever resist somebody reminding you, and don't ever resist reminding somebody else, because they might have just, you think, well, they know that. They don't need me. Yeah, they might just need you to remind them. And it helps us all. I mean, it always increases us. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligent. That's our job. Our job is simply to believe. As Jody says, it's really simple, but it is quite a complex thing to keep your mind renewed, because it's getting bombarded from everything. And one of the first things you do is when the Lord reminds you sometimes of one of the first things we tend to do, oh, man, I forgot. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. We all do it. In fact, just don't try to fix that. Just thank God he reminds you. And other people remind you to. In fact, we did, on our TNC, I've talked about this, but the last lesson is forget and forfeit. And I had several pages in small print of all of scriptures that had talked about don't forget. It's like hundreds. I can't remember. It was a massive amount of scriptures that don't forget. So what do we know from that? That our tendency is to forget. We are going to forget. We can't remember it all at one time. But even the things that are most solid in us, even Psalms 91, that's one reason we even enjoyed that, because it brings a whole lot of things to remembrance of what the provision is. So it just says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm not taking very many things with me. I'm going to be on 12 different planes. There's a high percentage chance I would lose luggage. So I'm carrying everything with me for the 12 days in one suitcase, one little carry-on. So I'm not packing a lot of stuff. But I got a book in there that my kids and grandkids had given me. And said, how's it go? Remember the name of it? Grandpa, tell me your stories, or something like that. So it's got an outline of telling your grandkids your favorite stories or whatever else. It terrifies me. Because I got too many. I don't remember half of them. Sometimes when I'm up here talking, and you know, and I'll come up with a story, I hadn't really thought about it for years. It's just the Spirit of God brings it back to my memory because it fits. And to try to start writing things down, I don't know. I've been told to do it all my life. Anyway, I'm going to take it. I don't know if I'll look at it or not. But I do constantly talk to my grandkids and kids, and I believe my just Elisa and are doing it in front of them is constantly telling our kids that we believe in the God that provides. So the gospel was designed for a common man, I believe. I think, you know, I was reading some Jewish stuff the other day that somebody sent me. By the way, we got a couple in Amsterdam. We're connected. We're connected all over the world, you know. And my trip right now is just to go take my presents to Singapore and hug on some people, and some little kids that are now teenagers, and to love on them and encourage them, and just be a presence, and then breaking in to open a new church, and then going back to the Philippines where I haven't been for a decade or so, and hugging on some people up in the mountains. You know, so that's the bulk of what I'm going to be doing, and to me, it's no small thing. But I was reading this thing. By the way, I just about lost it, didn't I? This couple from Amsterdam, we just met, Lisa and I met, we have them in our home. We met them at Andrew Womack's. They called us a couple of evenings ago, and we talked, and they just sent $1,000 to our church from Amsterdam just to help us out. Remember what I was talking about when we give to things, we're just making a connection, we're making a tie, and so they do ministry. They're stretching into Southern Africa and all that. We'll probably land someplace in some country with them. But I think it's just cool that people just said the Lord just spoke to us and we need to send you some help. So, and the money helps, but it's just the fact that, man, God, you really are watching over us. You got people praying for us that we don't even know about. So the gospel is for common man, and I think about this when I see, you know, I've talked a little bit about this the other day, so I won't, but, you know, when we dress up in robes and we do, you know, the Jews, they like to put a lot of things on, and then there's, you know, then there's professional singers, and there's some of these preachers, they're hands down just awesome preachers. But always remember this, Jesus died for the common man. The first people who knew he's coming were shepherds. He could deal with kings. He stood before kings. But he spent a lot of time with stinky fishermen. And literally, they stink. And common people. And the gospel's never out there someplace over your head, only for the intellectual, only for the scholars, only for those who have spent their whole life in a monastery seeking God. And part of this Jewish writing was talking about these Jews that I believe were really sincere and really talking about how they understood some things that we don't understand about just the inner light that's within us and seeking the light of God and having to do that. But what they don't understand is when Jesus came, he fulfilled it all and made it really simple. You just believe in him, and he actually connects you into the Holy of Holies. He does it all instantly. He paid a price for you and I to be redeemed out of our sin, but also be redeemed into the presence of God that only a few people ever could have done it before, and it's just available to us now. And though it was paid for, it's not cheap. And so never write yourself off as a common person that God wants to use, because that's who he uses. That's why I love to tell the story about the little girl just putting her finger on the back of a person's neck and not even knowing what she's doing, and the power of God heals. So don't ever, man, I know you guys don't. But so I was just thinking about this. Zozo is the Greek word for salvation. And we've talked about it before, but it doesn't mean just being born again. It means healed. It means delivered. It means free. It means free from distress. It means desires fulfilled. It is in this word is so comprehensive of just saying success. God successed you in every area, whatever you set your hands to. He came to save us, and that includes everything. It's everything. And people say, I don't know if God really wants me healed. No, he does. He wants you born again. He wants you spirit-filled. He wants you prosperous. He wants you blessed. He wants you happy. He wants you free. I was talking to a girl the other day that's trying to fly to see a grandson and just terrified, just shakes just thinking about getting on a plane or getting out of her own little comfort zone. And I think, man, thank God he set us free. You know, with all the plane wrecks and everything else, people say, how do you feel about flying? Great. Man, what a way to go. Hallelujah. One big explosion. Poof, you're gone. Hallelujah. Not a bad way to go. Don't worry about bringing my body back if I don't make it on this trip. You know, I mean, I'll be, you know. I'm free. You're free from all these temporal superstitious, and I won't get into them all. I wanted to, but I won't. Ideas that we have, you know, it's like, oh, I want my dad buried, you know, by me. I want him in my, you know, whatever you want to do with him, fine. That's your thing. But the truth is, I'm not coming back to this ash. I don't want this redeemed. We're going to get a new body. You say, well, don't you need the old? Well, listen. It wouldn't matter if I'm in China, if I'm over there and get buried. There's just so many things that we just sometimes hang on to this temporal world's thinking and get really emotional about it. I just love my old 55 Chevy. I just want it one more time. Enjoy it, but don't worship it. Be free. So anyway, I was just thinking this week. When was the last time you preached or ministered a great and powerful message? And some of you might say, well, I never have preached. Oh, yeah, you're preaching all the time. Every action you do, every smile that you take. The word preach means to proclaim, actually publish. If you write any text, you're preaching. More accurately than preaching up here, that's what the word means, proclaim, publish. When was the last time you had a really great and powerful message for somebody? When was the last time you experienced the miraculous power of God to be healed? Thank God we got Chris, you know, just breathing in here without an oxygen. You know, man, I don't know. I get the giggles every time I see him. It's like, you know, he could be basking in the sunshine of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You know, not a care in the world being up there in heaven. But thank God we got him out of that idea and kept him right here on earth to be tortured with the rest of us till we're done. When was the last time you experienced a great, powerful healing? When was the last time you were saved? When was the last time you were delivered, set free from something? When was the last time you were supernaturally protected? When was the last time you were, by the power of God, set free? And when was the last time you prophesied? I'm not talking about foretelling something. I'm talking about when you just spontaneously speak a word that needed to be heard by somebody or to yourself. I prophesy to myself all the time. That's inspired self-talk. When was the last time you did? Well, let me tell you. The last time you experienced a powerful healing was just a couple seconds ago. And I'm not talking about when we prayed for each other. Your body is so supernatural, and it is delivering you. Every cell in your body, and by the way, Darwin just said, if a single cell is complex, throw away everything I've ever said. A single cell in your body is so complicated. It has so many little devices in it. And on 1 second, 100,000 different things have to take place perfectly or that cell dies. Perfectly. How many things do you know that works perfectly? And literally, every cell in your body has 100,000 things taking place perfectly and on a level that we never even knew existed until we had these super microscopes. You're a walking miracle. Born again or not, you're experiencing the healing power of God that created you constantly. And then once in a while we get something wrong. We get a little arthritis. We get a little this. And, oh, what a cheap body. It doesn't even, you know, it's like you don't understand how much is going right. And when it goes wrong, it sometimes is weird. You've seen those people that grow bark on their body? They literally look like they got trees. Their legs are trees. They'd grow a bark, and if you've never seen it, look it up. It's weird. Just because something went a little haywire. Just the weirdest things. You know, you can get scared of all the things that could happen to you. But what you ought to, what I just want to do this day is just say, take a deep breath sometimes and just say, mercy, there's a lot going right in my body right now. Literally, the power of God is working in me mightily. And then every area that I mentioned, you are being saved moment by moment. You are being protected moment by moment. When you hear about the pastor being in the fire, you know, the fire, listen, but that's one of the biggest dangers you can be over there. Joyce Myers had a big conference in Manila, you know, and they rented this huge hotel for everybody. But in that hotel, you know, they didn't have fire sprinklers. In that hotel, they had bars on the windows to keep the thieves from coming in. And the fire took off, and they lost hundreds and thousands of people that came to the Joyce Myers meetings. Tragedy happens. You know, it wouldn't happen in a Joyce Meyer meeting. Yeah, it happens everywhere. It happens to everybody. And that's why we say we dwell in the shelter of the Most High. No evil befalls us. No plague comes near my tent. I think it was your husband I was preaching one time, and I said, man, if the wing falls off the plane, I'm going to believe. And he says, he's a pilot. I don't want to fly that plane. And I was saying, that'll be a fun trip down. We got one wing. Let's get her down, boys. And part of that's just jesting, but part of it is, listen, we have a God that is, man, I tell you, for a God to bring a plane down without a wing really isn't that tough for him. He created the whole universe. It's still going on. Even Elon Musk says we'll never find the end of it because it's going faster than the speed of light. And that's what a lot of these scientists, what Jody was sharing, they're starting to say, well, I don't know about all that religion stuff I heard, but there makes sense there might be somebody that designed all this. They're coming to know God. What they rejected was man's philosophies and ideologies because they put on funny things and they said, I'm more spectacular than you and you need to listen to me. And a lot of smart people say, I don't want to listen to you. And they shouldn't. You and I are supernatural beings, divinely being saved moment by moment. What a great thought once in a while to think about instead of thinking about what's going wrong and what might go wrong. And just say, man, I'm a walking miracle. I'm a walking wisdom. 2 Corinthians says this, test yourself. Paul said this, not anyway, test yourself to see if you are in faith. What a statement. I don't know how you're going to do that. I got some ideas for myself, but just it said it so we can do it. Paul, I believe, is inspired when he wrote this, so I think we ought to listen to it. I think we ought to figure out, how are you going to test yourself to see if you're in faith? Examine yourself. There's nothing wrong with examining yourself once in a while and seeing how you're doing. And I've thought about that, and I thought, well, okay, I'm going to share some of my ideas with me. But a couple things I do to see if I'm in faith. Number one, what have I been saying? Not just only with my lips, but what I've been saying with my body language. What am I conveying? And sometimes when I think about that, first thing I do is put a smile on. Did you ever drive by somebody on the road and they're just serious and you try to wave to them and they're just, I'm that guy that's in, when I'm in a vehicle, my brain's just going like crazy. I'm thinking about things and, and then I think I'm a pastor, so I keep looking around, and now I can't see in the windows anymore to see who's there. But sometimes I just put a smile on so it looks like I'm having fun. That's a good life. Okay, get myself back into faith. What else do I do? Well, I look at what I'm saying. But then I go deeper and I say, what have I been feeding on? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Have I been thinking about the goodness of God? That's why some of these things I do, I'm sharing with you, they're literally things I do as I'm going down the road. I just go, this body is amazing. 70 years still cranking. Woo! And then I got to take a deep breath and said, woo! 30 more? 40 more? man, you got to tone up, buddy. But I'm a walking miracle. You're a walking miracle. Every day, common people. It's not, we look, again, stop, we need to stop looking at the super duper spectacular people and just say, I am a child of God. Test yourself, see if you're in faith, examine yourself, or do you not recognize this about yourself? Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you fail the test. Well, I just figured out I passed the test of faith. Jesus Christ is in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I passed the test. Woo! Man, I like passing tests. I don't like taking tests. I just like passing them. Hallelujah. Getting past them. Hallelujah. So the question are have you heard somebody lately just say, oh, I'm really trying. Need to speak the word. Yeah, I'm really trying. Can I encourage you and just give you a word that really is a healthy, solid word? It's always going to be true. It's always going to work for you every time. Stop trying. It's a waste of time. Don't try things. That's just experimenting. That's a half-hearted effort. I think it was Yoda said, do not try, do. Very, very accurate. By the way, Yoda in the Hebrew language means knowledge. Have the knowledge that you recognize something that Christ is in you. A common man, Christ is in you, makes you a supernatural being, makes you a child of God, makes you perfect, makes you complete. Well, that's hard to believe. Absolutely. That's why you got to work at it. But it's the truth. It's the truth. So stop trying. Are you trying? I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to forgive people. No, just stop it. Start being who you are. It's not about trying. It's about being. I am a child of God. I am filled with the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. My sister Kay is here, and she was my informant most of my life, of trying to figure out what was going on in life, and especially in my family. And so we were Norwegians, you know. There wasn't a whole lot of talk, and we've had some really good talks with Mom and Dad, but a lot of times we just didn't know what was going on. And and Kay was always the one that would ask questions that she shouldn't ask, cross that line all the time. But anyway, she became my informant. So when I got really on fire and got really going, I came home from Bible college, and I had dreams, and I was called. My mom called me the dreamer. I'm not even sure now why. I can't remember growing up. And she, there's another lady, Cheryl Trocamone, she'd always say, your mom would come to our Bible study every week and say, we'd have a prayer request, and she'd always say, what are we going to do about John? Would you pray for John? And he's such a dreamer. So when I came back and I start prophesying, I start saying, I'm believing God for this, I'm believing God for that. And so this is a time where I'm in my 20s or something, and Kay is talking to my dad. She might not even remember, but my dad just said, my concern for John is he's got faith for all these things. He's believing for all these things. What if they don't come to pass? Is he going to totally just walk away and give up? And when I heard that, I go, wow, that's a legitimate concern. I didn't judge my dad for that at all. I go, that's a concern of mine when I see somebody get up and say, I'm going to go do this, and we're going to believe for this. I go, man, what if it don't happen? You going to be okay? But see, I examined my life then and said, are you in faith? And one of the things I did to test myself is said, if it doesn't come to pass, what am I going to do? And I said, I ain't doing anything different than believing in Jesus. I ain't got any other answers. I'm not looking for a way out. I've all the things I've done, all the doubt and all the failure, all the give up, all that, But I can honestly say I have never said, I'm done with you, God. I want to give up. I want to throw in the towel. It never crosses my mind. I know this. There is no other answer. He's my answer. And and if he slays me, I will serve him because I've resolved something here. Now, I got a lot to learn, and I'm going to fight my way. But at the same time, I know in whom I have believed that he is able to keep that which I committed to him. And that sets me free to believe. You know what keeps us from believing? Our fear of failure and our fear of success keeps us from stretching out and doing things that would bring results. We're afraid. What if I lay hands on somebody and they don't get well? We're afraid of that. But you know what we're even more afraid of usually? What if they do get healed? I've had people that told me, I'm not preaching what you're preaching, John. I would never do that because I never want the power to set somebody free and healed. I don't want that responsibility. This young man that came, he's from Neil and Kay's church. His name is Luke Ballard. Mallard? Ballard. When he was, I think if I got this right, he's about 19 when he started bull riding. I said, how'd you get into that? He said, well, it was one of the classes in college, and I thought I'd like to try it. I said, do you study a class on bullfighting? Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So the first year he goes out, he wins the international championship, world championship. That's a lot of bull. Big deal. That's success. Big silver buckle. Lot of praise. And I said, how's it going now? And he just said, it's not been as much fun. I'm not doing as well. You know why? Boy, when you have that much success, everybody expects you to. And it's a lot of pressure. Well, I was a long hair, looked like a Hell's Angel. If I prayed for somebody and something happened, everybody was just shocked. When I got up and preached back then and taught it, they'd be go, whoa, where'd you get all that wisdom? You know, and I go, that's pretty cool. Nobody expects anything. Anything they get, they're going to be kind of happy with. But then I got a reputation. The miracles took place. John has revelation. He's called to God. And I tell you, it just about took me out. Lay hands on somebody, get healed, and somebody says, I heard that you lay hands on you. And they come and they say, lay hands on me. And it's like, no. I'm telling you, it's a fear. If one gets healed but the next one doesn't, how do you handle that? What if they all get healed and everybody wants you to pray for them? That's a big deal. I don't think I want that. So what my dad said was true. You got a lot of dreams, you got a lot of things, go for it. But you're going to have to deal with the fear of failure, and you're going to have to deal with the fear of success. But I'm telling you, it's so sad to think that nothing happened because you didn't take any risk at all. That's a sad life, isn't it? That's disgusting. That ought to be a stench in your nose. You say, well, I played it safe. And it didn't do anything. That ought to be disgusting to you, and I think it is. Your spirit man will definitely say, stop that. Let's go do something. If we die doing it, hallelujah. At least we did. Yeah. You and I are common people, and Jesus died for us and said, I'll make you a child of God, extraordinary, and I'll give you my name, and I'll give you my spirit, and I'll give you my power, and I'll give you my grace, and it won't be by you, it'll be by me. Trust me. That's the gospel. So if I don't see you again, carry on. Somebody else remind you of all this stuff, but I will return. I'm going to have a great trip. You're going to have a great time, and Lisa's going to do you well. And somebody help her with the sound system, I pray. Father, we thank you. Would you stand with me, please? Just good to stand before God. It's just good. And what that means to stand before God means you come eyeball to eyeball with him. The Bible doesn't say, well, it does say it, but there's Hebrews says, come before the throne of grace in a time of need and stand there boldly. And the boldly means to speak boldly there. And as much as it's fun to bow down on your knees and worship God, he also will tell you when you do that. We know this because people bowed down to Jesus after he was raised from the dead. And when they did, he did the same thing to every one of them. He said, stand. You're going to come before me and ask for something? Stand. Look me straight in the eye and speak your request boldly. Why did he say that? Because that's the price he paid. Cost him his life so you and I could look straight into the Father's eyes and make our request known to him. That's the deep respect the Father God has for you. So in obedience to him, we stand before the throne now and we say, thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you that we walk in the Spirit of God. You rescue us from every snare. You deliver us from every trouble. You set our feet on high. You give angels charge concerning us, and we will behold your salvation. And with long life. That's what we used to do when we quoted all the time. I haven't done it for a while. Long life, I'll satisfy you. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you in a couple weeks.